Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Jason Bertoldi, head of contingent risk solutions for WTW, one of the world's largest insurance brokers. Prior to joining WTW, Jason was a member of the litigation investing team at D.E. Shaw and an associate at Sussman Godfrey. Jason, welcome to the podcast.
John, thanks for having me on.
It's really great to have you here. We get to talk about a subject that we don't touch on a lot. So I'm just going to start with the basics for you. What is contingent risk insurance? What are the various use cases of this?
Contingent risk insurance transfers known legal and regulatory risks to the insurance market. Put differently, it's an insurance product that covers losses flowing from litigation. Typically, these policies have a one-time upfront premium payment. The premium is generally expressed as a rate on line, a percentage of the coverage being purchased, and that rate on line tends to range from 8% to 15%. So to insure a $100 million contingent risk, the policyholder will typically have to pay $8 million to $15 million. And the policy will typically remain in place for the duration of the litigation, even if the case is appealed or remanded and it moves between different courts. In terms of use cases, when people think about contingent risk or contingent loss, they tend to think of liabilities facing a defendant. For example, the risk that a defendant will lose a lawsuit and therefore incur financial liability. That's one application of contingent risk insurance. A party who's been sued or could be sued can purchase an insurance policy that will cover some of the financial exposure from that lawsuit. But contingent risk insurance has applications on the other side of the V. Plaintiffs can use contingent risk insurance to lock in the value of a successful litigation outcome before a case is finalized. And today, those affirmative applications of contingent risk insurance are very prevalent in the market. There are more use cases. Stakeholders in litigation outcomes, like litigation funders and plaintiff's attorneys, can use contingent risk insurance to unlock value and hedge risk. And contingent risk insurance has important applications in a transactional context. For example, in an M&A transaction, a buyer purchasing a target that is a defendant in an ongoing lawsuit. Instead of escrowing the amount of money involved in that exposure, the parties can ring-fence that amount by purchasing a contingent risk insurance policy and therefore facilitate the transaction.
I'm interested to know, you know, let's say a case looks strong from a claimant's perspective. So what are some of the reasons that someone might look to insure that case, even if it looks like a strong case?
That is a great question. And it's similar to a question litigation funders often face. What's the motivation? And how do I make sure that my counterparty's interests are aligned with mine? There are many good reasons to seek funding for a strong case. And there are many good reasons to insure a strong case. I'll highlight three reasons that are common to both industries: duration, liquidity, and controlling risk. Consider a classic use case for contingent risk insurance. A plaintiff has just won a large judgment and the judgment is appealed. The plaintiff is confident that they will prevail in that appeal. But until the judgment is affirmed, they probably won't be able to collect on the judgment. It may be the case that this judgment is the most valuable asset the plaintiff holds. But until the judgment amount is realized, that asset is illiquid and not monetizable. That plaintiff can purchase a contingent risk insurance policy, the limit of which is equal to or close to the judgment amount. In doing so, the plaintiff has just expanded its universe of win scenarios. If they win the appeal, they can collect on the judgment. If they lose the appeal, they can make a claim against their contingent risk insurance policy. The plaintiff has now set a floor on their ultimate recovery from the lawsuit. But let's take it a step further. The plaintiff, who is now a policyholder, can go to a litigation funder and seek non-recourse funding collateralized against the judgment amount or the policy payout. The funder can enjoy the same downside protection as the plaintiff, because even if the judgment is reversed, the policy will provide proceeds to pay the funder. The funding provides upfront and immediate liquidity to the plaintiff, transforming what was a purely illiquid judgment into cash proceeds. There are many variations on this theme. I'll note that some insurers are amenable to insuring earlier stage cases that have not yet culminated in a final judgment, but are heading towards a successful resolution. There are even contingent risk insurance products available for unfiled cases. In all of these use cases, Contingent risk insurance provides risk mitigation. And when combined with funding, it addresses the duration and liquidity concerns that claimants face whenever they're involved in a lawsuit that isn't yet final.
Yeah, that's great. It's great to see the connection there with litigation funding. I want to ask about the underwriting. So how do carriers weight the different underwriting factors here? You know, we have case type, the stage of the case, the jurisdiction, the legal counsel. These are all things you have to consider. So do you have an algorithm that allows you to like objectively measure these metrics, or is there a lot of the underwriting decision making? Does that come down to experience and subjective assessment?
Sure. So contingent risk insurance policies are bespoke. There is no one size fits all policy for contingent risk placements. And the key drivers during underwriting will be case dependent. But in general, the underwriting factors that insurers use parallel the underwriting factors that a litigation funder would consider. And you've already hit on a few of them. How strong is the case on the merits? Is the case mature? And do we know enough about the case to have conviction and successful luck? Are the lawyers litigating the case experienced? And is the risk binary? Am I being asked to insure a case that could go one of two ways, a case with multiple different outcomes, or perhaps a portfolio of cases, which has become increasingly common in the contingent risk insurance marketplace? All of these factors can be relevant in underwriting, and weighing those factors allows insurers to determine first whether a risk is insurable, and if so, what the appropriate premium and deductible, if any, should be.
So what are the typical use cases then for judgment preservation insurance? Is there a specific plaintiff type or a certain case type that typically tries to pursue the preservation insurance?
So going back to the hypo I discussed before, a judgment preservation policy provides a powerful tool to mitigate downside risk from an unsuccessful appeal. And when combined with litigation funding, it solves the liquidity and duration concerns that judgment holders face. In terms of who is buying these policies, it really varies. We've seen a lot of judgment preservation activity in the patent litigation space, which makes sense because those cases can generate very large judgments. But there is a wide variety of civil litigation claims that are good candidates for judgment preservation. Everything from antitrust claims to trade secrets to class actions to run-of-the-mine commercial contract disputes. By and large, if the underlying case is a strong one, it's worth exploring whether the judgment in that case is suitable for judgment preservation insurance. And that's something that I and my group at WTW are well equipped to advise on, since we're abreast of all the current developments in the contingent risk insurance marketplace.
Yeah, and you know, you touched on this a bit already, but I want to ask, how does contingent risk insurance intersect with litigation finance? Can you explain how a claimant might leverage both of those resources?
Sure. Contingent risk insurance and litigation funding are complementary products. And when combined, they can enable claimants, litigation funders, and others in the litigation ecosystem to achieve attractive risk-adjusted returns. My advice to claimants is this: think about both of these solutions early and try to work on both simultaneously. If you're a claimant interested in monetizing your claim, I'd encourage you to ask potential funders about contingent risk insurance. You can work on crafting a term sheet that incorporates insurance, perhaps with the funder paying the premium for a contingent risk policy or providing additional liquidity above and beyond the premium, or both. The term sheet can contain, as a condition of funding, that an acceptable contingent risk policy will be placed. And the economics of the deal will reflect the potential availability of insurance and the downside protection insurance provides. If you're in that position, then the funder insurance company may be able to conduct their underwriting simultaneously. I noted before that many underwriting factors insurers consider parallel the underwriting factors that funders consider. Combining funder and insurer underwriting is an efficient method to take advantage of that overlap. Many claimants and many funders are thinking more about how they can proactively incorporate insurance into their deals. So if you're a claimant or a funder, give me a call. I'm always happy to talk about the intersection of these two industries and how the contingent risk insurance marketplace is evolving.
Yeah, it's definitely very pertinent to litigation funders, the evolution of this market. So really glad we're having you on. Final question, big picture here. When you look ahead, where do you see contingent risk insurance evolving from here?
The contingent risk insurance industry is growing rapidly. And the group at WTW is already seeing wide use of this insurance among litigants, lawyers, litigation funders, and others. So the headline answer is that there will be increased contingent risk deal flow going forward. Here are three more specific predictions. First, more corporate litigants are going to utilize contingent risk insurance as part of their affirmative recovery efforts. Many GCs at major corporations have figured out sophisticated ways to use litigation funding in order to provide more balance sheet certainty, which means they're already thinking about ways to extract value from legal claims before they're final. Those stakeholders are natural consumers of contingent risk insurance because it provides litigation certainty at very attractive pricing. And when combined with litigation funding, it can provide immediate liquidity. Second, more law firms that use alternative fee arrangements will use contingent risk insurance to protect their fee income. If you're an attorney litigating a case on full or partial contingency, your recovery will rise and fall with your clients. Law firms should strongly consider purchasing contingent risk insurance to lock in some or all of their anticipated fee income before cases are finalized and judgments are paid. This could take the form of a contingent risk policy that is intended solely to cover the firm's expected fees, or it could take the form of a policy that covers some or all of a client's expected recovery, which enables the law firm to earn a contingent fee even if the underlying case ultimately proves unsuccessful, because the policy proceeds can be used to pay the firm. Finally, I'll close with a prediction specific to the litigation funding industry. More funders are going to utilize contingent risk insurance in a systematic way versus purchasing insurance on a deal-by-deal basis. One growing area of interest is a capital protection policy, or a fund-wide insurance wrap. If you're a litigation funder, you can purchase an insurance policy that covers the expected principal deployment of your fund. Coverage can take place before you make your first investment. And because the insurer enjoys the benefit of full cross-collateralization across the fund, and because that fund will contain many uncorrelated investments, the premium pricing on these policies can be very competitive.
That's really great to hear. Jason, insurance isn't a subject we touch on enough. We're touching on it more and more as more interest grows. And we're so glad to have you on and discuss your products with us and discuss what WTW is doing. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, John. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. And if you're interested to learn more about what Jason and WTW are up to in the insurance market, you can check them out at their website, www.wtwco.com. That's wtwco.com. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you on the next episode of the Litigation Finance Podcast.